We come in our Bibles this morning in the book of Genesis, chapter 12, to one of the most outrageous examples of obedience that Scripture ever gives us. One of the most remarkable examples of obedience. What is obedience? What does it mean to obey? What is it? What is at the heart of obedience? It means when someone tells you to do something, you do it. It means when someone tells you not to do something, you don't do it. It means complying with direction. Now, there's something that's very interesting as we look at this example of obedience as it's portrayed in the life of a man named Abraham. At this time, his name was still Abram, and Abram was a man who was living with his family members. He was living around those that he loved. His father was there. His name was Terah, and God had made a command to Abram. He said, Abram, you may be comfortable here. You may be settled here. You may be feeling you're doing just fine here. But I know this isn't the place for you. Now leave. Leave. And you think, wow, he told him to leave his family? Well, he took a lot of his family with him. He took his wife with him. He took his nephew with him. But leaving the ones that he loved in this comfortable home where he was? Now you say, well, where did God tell him to go? Huh. We'll see. God said, I'll show you. I'll tell you later. Now, the remarkable thing about this example of obedience is that we see that Abram actually did it. He obeyed. He departed. But I want to show you something today that was absolutely central to Abram's obedience in his life and will be absolutely central to your obedience, to the commands of God on your life. And it comes in one word. It comes in one word that the inspired Word of God presents for us this morning for our nourishment. It comes in verse 4. I'll read from verse 3, or I'll read from verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So, Abram departed. So, Abram departed. Do you know that word, so? So, I think, is the key to unlocking not only this passage, but unlocking what it means to obey God and how you do it. We have two things separated right here. We have God's call to a man named Abraham, go. And we have the man's response, Abraham's response, okay, I will. And what's the word that connects them? So. You may have heard of the phrase, so what? What is it said when someone, what is it meant? What is someone meaning when they say, so what? I asked one of our Sunday school students this morning, and she gave a very wise response. I don't care. That's what she said it means, and it's right. So what? I don't care what you have to say. But do you know there's another sense in which true obedience to God is predicated on you saying to God, so what? So, if what you have said is true, then what? How am I to act in response to that? And I'm going to do it. The title of the message this morning is Faith's So What? Faith's So What? And we are going to learn this morning that just as Abraham, his obedience on the commands of God was predicated on his belief in that God as manifested in the word so. So if you want to know why and how you are going to obey the promises, obey the commands of God that He has placed in your life, it's not going to come apart from faith's so what? Let's understand, first of all, under this topic of this morning service, let's understand a call. A call that God made, a sovereign God, a divine being made on the life of a man named Abram. We're going to look at this call in three parts. First of all, the call from. Secondly, the call to. And third, the call with. We're going to look at all three of those things. First of all, the call from. What was Abram called from? If I were to say to you, one of you people sitting here, if I were to say, Keviana, come up here, where would I be calling her from? Her seat, the pew where she's sitting. I would say, come on up here, leave where you're going. This is exactly what God said to Abraham. Get out, leave, come over here. Abraham had to leave somewhere. Where did he have to leave? Well, Scripture tells us right here. This is what God said to him. Now, the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Look at how each one, he takes a little step further on how close it would be to Abram's heart. Now, there's something about our countries, the place where we're born, that we love. Man, my dad was a proud Swede. He didn't. His heritage went back to Sweden. He wasn't born in Sweden. But there was something about that heritage of being Swedish that had a powerful effect on him. And it's true of you wherever you are. There may be, if there's enough of a connection to you, you'll go back, man, I'm proud of my Irish heritage. I'm proud of my African heritage. I'm proud of my German heritage, of my British heritage, whatever it is. There's a pride there. And there's a patriotism that we feel, being United States citizens. I am an American. I stand up and sing the Star Spangled Banner, and I have that feeling of pride and of wonder in my heart that I'm connected with this country. God said to Abraham, leave your country. Leave the place where you've been, where you've put down roots. He not only said leave your country, he said leave your kindred. Leave your relatives, your acquaintances, those that are surrounding you. That strikes a little bit closer to our hearts. We have cousins that we love. We have aunts and uncles. We have extended family. We love getting together at Christmas. We love getting together at Thanksgiving or other holidays and spending time. We feel that bond. God said, Abraham, it's time to depart. It's time to leave. Not only that, he told Abraham, not only leave your country, not only leave your kindred, but then, the closest of all, your father's house. It's time to leave your father's things behind. It's time to sever that connection with who your father was. And it's time to go out on your own. And I will tell you, what a remarkable thing this was, a command of God to say, Abraham, it's time to leave. It's time to step out of your comfort zone. It's time to get uncomfortable, because that's what I'm asking of you. It was a call from. Secondly, it was a call to. Where? Where was God calling Abram? Where was he saying, Abram, it's time to go? Here's the remarkable thing. God didn't tell him. Can you imagine the situation? Here's Abram sitting very comfortably in his place. God says, Abram, leave. It's time to go. Okay, God, I'll leave, but where? No, don't bother me with that right now, Abram. I'll tell you where. I'll give it to you in later time. This is something that Hebrews 11 tells us again. It reiterates. Abram didn't know where he was going. Oh, he had a general direction. He knew he needed to go that way. But he went out, and the call of God was for him to go without knowing where that trail would end, where that path would end. What an amazing call that was. And third, it was a call with. It was a call with promises. God didn't just say to Abram, Abram, go, because I told you to. No. Along with it were these remarkable promises that God gave to Abram. Look at this statement. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. Abram, you want to leave your country? go to this one and I'll make you a great nation. I'll make you your own country. Then what else does he say? And I will bless thee and make thy name great. Abram, you want to leave your kindred? You want to leave your extended family and go and leave the protection of their family reputation? Well, follow me and I'll make your name actually great. I'll make your name, not your family's name, great. Wow, what a promise. But it wasn't just there. Look what else he says in verse 2. And thou shalt be a blessing. He says, Abraham, I'm calling you to leave your father's house, the house where you have received such great blessing. But guess what? I'm promising now that you will be the blessing to others. You know, God often does that in our lives. Throughout Scripture, God gives a command, but then he gives a promise right alongside with it. God is not just the taskmaster that takes out his whip and says, do it because I said so. No, God is a loving father who says, do it, and I will bless you more than you could possibly imagine. I love in the Old Testament when God had commanded the people to bring tithes. What's a tithe? A tithe is a 10% gift of man to God for the blessings that God has given man. And this is something that Scripture tells us to do. When you receive money in, give the first part of that money back to God and saying, God, you gave this to me. I'm giving it part of it back. That's a command. And the Israelites weren't doing it. They were ignoring it. They were saying, no, I'm keeping this to myself. I can't afford it. I can't do that. And God says to them, don't you understand? Test me out. Test me out whether if you give back to me like I've said, I will pour you out a blessing so big you can't even receive it. You can't even take it in. You know, that's how God acts in the affairs of men. He says, do it. And you will be wonderfully blessed because of it. Do it, and your reward will be great in heaven. Do this, what I say, and I will give you abundantly. And just like Peter and the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, we've given all this for you. What's in it for us? He says, don't think. Yeah, you've left all this, but I'll pay you back 100-fold. I will pay you back more than you can even imagine for this command that you're going to be obeying. So first of all, we see the call of God. There's a call of God on Abram, and there's calls of God in every area of your life contained in this book. Do this, don't do this. Do this, don't do this. And in those things, God gives us a promise. Oh, it might be out of our comfort zone. You know, my flesh really enjoys certain sins. God says, don't do them. And I will give you more abundance than your flesh ever could have given you in satisfaction. Follow me. Step out of your comfort zone in this area. Just like Abram was led away from his father's house. Follow me in this area and I will bless you. That's the call of God. It's right here. Now, secondly, we see a choice. We see the command of God to Abraham attached with promises. And then we see the response of Abraham seen in a choice. Abram went. So Abram departed. Now this is really a great example of obedience. And we see very few greater examples in the Bible. A person leaving everything he had known for a place that he didn't even know where he was going. Abram obeyed. Now let's look at a few aspects of this obedience. First of all, let's understand the condition. The condition. You know what God did to Abram? He conditioned his promise on the obedience. Abram would never have received the blessing of God had he not stepped out and obeyed God as God told him to. Look at this. God says it in order here. He said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. There's the command. There's the call. And I will make of thee a great nation. When you do that, I will bless you. I will do that. There's a condition attached to it. Secondly, there's not just a condition, there's a compliance. So Abram departed. Okay, God, you say it, I'll do it. God, you tell me, I'll do it. God, you say don't do it, I won't do it. That's what it looks like, obedience to God. There's a compliance. And third, let's understand about this obedience, a course. A course. You see, what's remarkable about it was that God gave Abram so many later steps of obedience that he had to continue to take. He had to continue to decide whether to obey God in following his instruction as it related to Isaac and sacrificing Isaac on the altar, being willing to, in his heart, give his only son back to God. He had different steps of obedience in his life, and this was one of the first. Do you know that in your life, God is going to continually lead you in steps of obedience and greater obedience and greater obedience, but you're never going to get to those later steps until you take the first one that he has in front of you right now? It's just true. And it's the same thing in our daily lives. God places conditions on our obedience. Or on his promises, excuse me, he places conditions on his promises. If you want to know right now in your life, why is God not blessing me? Why am I not seeing these fulfillments? Why am I not seeing an abundant life that he promised? Why am I not seeing peace? Why am I not seeing joy in my life? Why is my Christian life filled with such defeat? Step back and ask yourself, how's my obedience doing? How am I doing saying yes when God tells me, says yes? How am I doing saying no when God says no? How am I doing it at bringing my life into this, under the authority of this word? If you're not winning there, if you're not obeying there, you're not going to see the blessing. It's at this end of the year time, many of you employees or employees of a business, you may know something called a little bonus. What's a bonus? A bonus is something that an employer said, hey, you did a great job this year. I'm going to give you something that's really special to you. I'm going to give you some extra money. I don't have to give you that extra money, but I'm going to because you did a really good job. Now imagine you are working at your place of employment and you are doing a terrible job. You're not obeying your employer. Your employer's telling you to do stuff and you're not doing it. And then you come to the year end of the year and say, okay, where's my bonus? I'm looking for my bonus. What's your employer going to say to you? Hey, actually, I'm going to fire you. You're not going to get a bonus unless you're yielding, unless you're subjecting yourself to what your employer wants. Why do we think it's different in our Christian life? Why do we think in our Christian life we can live in disobedience to the commands of God, in disobedience to the things that the Bible tells us, and then we say, God, where's my blessing? Rain it down on me. We're going to get exactly the response of that employer. No. No. You see, the God's blessings in this that he promises to his children are predicated in many instances in our obedience. Do you know this is a remarkable thing? If you look in the New Testament, how many times that people are condemned for not obeying the gospel? Not obeying the gospel. Hebrews even says that Jesus has become the author of eternal salvation to them that obey him. Acts, the book of Acts says that the Holy Ghost is given by God to them that obey him. Because do you know, friends, if the first thing that God commands in your obedience is trusting in him for eternal life, is trusting in Jesus Christ, and until you obey there in belief by the command of God, you're never going to know your author of eternal salvation. You're never going to know the most wonderful gift that God has given to mankind, the most wonderful blessing, obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you're going to see it time and time again in your life. Do you want to see God's richest blessing in your life? Then it's going to take what Abraham had, obedience, saying yes to God. And when you say yes to God first, there's going to be another opportunity to say yes again. And when you say yes there, there's going to be another yes, and another yes, and another yes, until your life is a yielded life of obedience to God. As Paul says in Romans 6, don't yield yourselves as servants to sin. Yield yourselves to God. Put yourself on the altar before God and say, God, whatever you want, I'm going to do it. Whatever you say is what I'm going to do. That's the heart of obedience. So first of all here, we see the call. We see the call of God to say, do this and I'll bless you. And then secondly, we see the choice of Abraham to say, okay, I will, and obey. Now friends, let's understand third, the connector. What comes between those two things? What comes between the call of God, the command of God on our life, and our obedience? So, Abram departed. Do you know what that so is indicating about Abram? It's the so of faith. Abram believed God. Do you know that's at the heart of all obedience? Do you know that's the heart? It's the predicate. It's the enabler of all obedience in your life. And I'm going to make a statement here today, friends. If you are not obeying God in your life, it's because you don't have the connector so. If God has made a command upon your life, and believe me, friend, He's made plenty of them in this book. And if you're not reading this book to try to figure out what it says, you're probably missing them. God makes commands on us, and our obedience is predicated on saying, God said it, so I'm going to do it. God promised, so I'm going to follow. God said that I shouldn't do this, so I'm not going to do it. And that's the only thing that will connect God's promises to your obedience. Without it, you'll never get it. Oh, what a wonderful truth this is when we look at Abraham, who is called the father of the faithful. Why? Because he believed God. He thought that he was being true. He thought that he was being right. Let's look at this connector here in three different ways. Let's look at what it does. First of all, it enables obedience. Faith enables obedience. God says in the book of Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please God. That means if you're coming today to this church without faith, it's impossible for you to please God. Why? Because he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He can't be an atheist. He has got to say, I believe that you exist, and I believe that you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. In other words, if you want to come to God and find blessing, you got to believe that he exists. Do you believe that God exists here this morning? Do you believe that when we're praying to a real being? Do you believe that when we come to church and we sing, to God be the glory, we're actually singing it to a living God? If you don't have that, you might as well leave this church this morning because you're not pleasing God with your presence. You might as well not pretend to be a Christian because you're not pleasing God unless your life is based on the idea that God exists and he's alive. But secondly, you've got to believe that he rewards those that do what he says. You've got to believe that God is like that employer saying, if you do this and follow my procedures, I'm going to give you a bonus. If you follow what I say, I'm going to bless you. And unless you believe that, you can't please God. You're not going to do it. Now, how does faith enable obedience? How does faith enable us to do what God says and therefore to please Him? How does that happen? Well, I'll tell you. It's when we are confronted with a situation in our life where there's a call of God on our life, a command, and then there's an obedience that is difficult in our lives. A time where we really need to say, God, did you really say this? Did you really mean it? The only thing that's going to allow you to obey is if you say, God, I believe that what you said is true, and I believe that you will bless me if I do it. Now let's just bring this down to the bottom shelf. Let's just bring this to the ground floor level so we can have some examples of what this looks like. What are some examples? Let's say for me. Let's say that if I enjoy sleeping in the morning, I'm tired. I want to have some extra time on my alarm clock to go in. But I know that if I sleep in, I'm not going to have an opportunity to get up and spend some time with God, reading His Word and praying before I go. What is my body telling me when my alarm clock goes off and it's dark outside and the bed is warm and the room is cold? What's my body telling me? What's my body telling me? Stay there. Hit the snooze button, turn off your alarm, and catch another extra hour. Skip those devotions. What is the direction of God in my life? What is the promise of God? The promise of God is that it's a living word of God, and that it will cause me to grow in my spiritual life. The command of God is that those who seek me early will find me. Those who seek me with all their heart will find me. That's the promise of God. And so I have a command: get up and spend time with God. But I have myself, my flesh, saying, no, don't, keep on sleeping. Do you know what happens when I do disobey, when I hit that snooze button and go back to bed? Do you know what I've said to God? I don't believe you. That's what I said to God. I said, I don't believe that this word is really going to cause me to grow, or that word is all that good a thing for me to grow. I don't believe you that if I seek you, I'm going to find you, or I don't believe you that finding you is all that great a thing. Either one or both. You say, I don't believe you. What is that which causes me to say, my body tells me something, but God tells me something different, and I'm going to do something different? What is that? I believe God. I believe that God is true. I believe that He didn't lie when He said that, and I believe that in faith, I'm going to do it. My friend, if you're experiencing a lack of obedience in your life, in some command of Christ that's to you, the problem is that you don't believe God. You know, it really came home for me this week as God just convicted me this week and just showed me areas of life that I was continuing in disobedience in. And I confessed that sin, but it was only when I was studying for this message that I dropped my head and said, Lord, forgive my unbelief. Because that was at the root of it. I said, God, I don't believe you. Now, none of us would ever say that. We would never let those words come out of our mouth. But that's what it is. Because do you know what, friends? Your flesh has a so too. I want to do this, so I do it. You know, we can apply this all throughout the commands of Christ in our Christian life. What do we see in this culture that surrounds us? We see a culture that says, do whatever feels good. I want to do whatever feels good, and whatever doesn't feel good, I don't want to do it unless I'm going to look ahead in some way and see a reward. I was talking to some young men I know, and I was talking about this idea of desiring what God wants for us. And they were in essence saying, I just don't really want to. I said, you know what? These young men really enjoy lifting weights. I said, you know, there's some times in your life, I'm sure, where you went to lift weights where you didn't want to. Why? Because you looked off in the future and said, if I keep on lifting weights faithfully in the morning, I'm going to get huge, and I want that. You could show faith for that. You could show confidence in doing that. And it's the same way in your life. You need to come down to the point where you say, you know what? God said it, and I don't care whether I want to or not. I'm going to do it. So Peter did it. Now, who's an example of this? I don't think I'm being blasphemous when I say it's our Lord Jesus Christ. Think of Him in the Garden of Gethsemane, down on His knees before His Father. He knew His Father was calling Him to the cross, to the most agonizing experience any of us could ever imagine, both physically and spiritually. And here's Jesus on His knees saying before His Father, He's crying, He's sweating drops of blood, and He's saying to God, God, let this pass from me. If there's any way I don't have to go through this, make that happen. His body, His physical body that was the same body as you and I have, was resisting not resisting the will of God, but understanding that it was coming and was just, But do you know what Jesus said? Father, not my will, but thine be done. Do you know what you could have said there? God said to Jesus, go to the cross. Jesus' human body said, oh, that's going to hurt. But God said it. So Jesus went. My friend, what area in your life today are you saying no on? What area in life is there a call of obedience to you that you are currently resisting? You know what? It's time for you to say, I believe God. Because otherwise, it's just your flesh that's in control. It's just your flesh that's the one that's the boss. I just look at our culture. And I see this so often. The Word of God says, this is what's right. The Word of God says that sexual relationships between a man and a woman are to be reserved for the marriage of one man and one woman. What does our body say? No, I don't really like that. I'd really like to be doing it as often as I could, thank you very much, and whenever I want, thank you very much. And your flesh says, do this. And God says, no, don't do that. Not because I want to repress you, not because I want to make your life miserable, not because I want to make you a humiliation, but because I know that it will be in your best interest because I made you and I know what's best for you. And do you know what it comes down to, young people, teenagers here, other people here? Do you know what it's going to come down to? Whether you're going to say, I believe God or I believe my flesh. And when you say, no, God, I'm going to do what I want with my boyfriend or girlfriend or whoever else it is, with this person I'm committing adultery with. Do you know what you're saying? I don't believe you. I don't believe that you know best. I don't believe that you have my best interests in heart. And it's time for you to say, no, I believe God. Now, we can apply this again, as I said, we can apply this to any area. If you really believe, Christian, that the Word of God is transforming your heart from the inside out, and He's making a difference in your life, and it's a living Word of God that wants to change you, how would that change how you act? When you say, you know what? The Word of God is boring to me. I don't want to pray. I don't want to spend time in fellowship. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, whatsoever you ask in God's name, He'll do it. If it's in the will of God, He will accomplish it, and the Spirit of God will give you the mind of Christ, will lead you into the will of God. What are we saying to God when we go opt to do our own hobby, our own pleasure, instead of praying? We're saying, God, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. Oh, that we might say, God said it, so. That's all I need, the so. So I will do it. Faith enables obedience, and where there's no faith, there's not obedience. There's not true obedience that God says. Oh, what a remarkable challenge that is to my heart, and I hope to each of your hearts. Secondly, let's understand, faith doesn't only enable obedience, faith energizes obedience. Faith is that which energizes a kind of obedience that we already have. Now imagine if I changed the connector. The connector in this verse wasn't so, it was and. God said, Abraham, go, and Abraham departed. Do you know what that would rob us of? Knowing what Abraham's motivation was? Because do you know what you could have plausibly thought? Well, Abraham went because he thought there was great cropland over there. Abraham left because that looked like a really good land and things were getting a little boring over here. And then there's no connection between the command of God and our obedience. It's just that we're doing something because we want to do it. Do you know, friends, that happens in our Christian lives? Do you know some of you may be here at church this morning, not because you're coming because God commanded it, but because your mom made you? Or because you think that you need to be here, or that you think that in a sense people are going to think wrongly of you if you're not here? Do you know that can be the same thing with our giving, with our reading of the Word of God, with our family raising, with all these different areas where we're obeying and the connector is an and. God said it and I will do it. But it's not a so. It's not the connector of faith. It's not rooting our obedience on our faith in who God is and what He said. Do you know what you're going to be? You're going to be a hypocrite. You're going to be a Pharisee. And God's not going to be pleased because without faith it is impossible to please Him. Friends, we talk about what it means to walk by faith. The Christian life is said to be a walk by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And it's faith that allows us to make those steps of obedience that God says. Third, let's understand that faith extends obedience. Faith extends obedience. Remember what we said with Abram? Abram, at all these steps of obedience that came after, so do we. Your obedience doesn't end when you do one thing that God tells you to do. It's a conscious day in and day out submission to the lordship of Jesus Christ over your life. And that's, I think, what it means to walk by faith. Do you know what a life of faith looks like? It's a life that says, when I get up in the morning, God, you said, so what do I do now? God, at lunchtime, you said, so what do I do now? God, you said tonight, so what do I do now? It's that intentional connection to the commands of Christ. I look at my life, and so often my life is so unintentional. I do on the basis of habit. I do on the basis of what I've always done. I go through a day of work, and I step back, and I look, and I say, wait. How many times did I really intentionally obey God today? That's not what a walk of faith looks like. A walk of faith is the entire day of us saying yes to God, of looking and saying, God, you promised, so I'm going to live like this. You know what God says about soul winning? That he that winneth souls is wise, that he that brings many to righteousness will shine as the stars in heaven forever and ever and ever, that there will be great rewards to those who give their lives in service to God. Friends at Straight Gate Church, are you giving your life in service just because, or are you doing it on the basis that God will reward you and bless you? That's what a service of faith looks like. Tonight we're going to come back and we're going to open the Word of God. We're going to preach from it. Do you believe that the Word of God can change you? Do you believe that the Word of God is powerful? Do you believe that tonight you might get something that might change your spiritual life from where it is now? If you believe that, are you going to obey God and actually be here? If you purport to believe what He says about the life-giving change of the Word of God... I was reading a book by the great Welsh preacher, Martin Lloyd-Jones. He said, I don't get it. He said, I don't get by people who call themselves Christians willingly, so willfully, take opportunities to take themselves out from the preaching of the Word of God, to avoid the preaching of the living and powerful Word of God in their lives. If we really believe it, how are we going to act? And if we're acting in a certain way, aren't we just saying to God, I don't believe you? I don't believe you. Friends, today I hold before you the example of the father of the faithful, Abram, a man of God who by faith left according to the command of God, who left because God said it and God promised and he believed God. Friends, do you know where it's going to start? And where it, I pray, did start for each and every single one of us, it started in the first step of obedience that God has put before you. Repent and believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ for eternal life, you've never repented of your sins, turned from your sins, and turned to Jesus Christ as the only one who can get you to heaven... You've not pleased God in the most basic step. And the end, the path that you are walking down right now is leading to destruction, eternal destruction. Obey God this morning by faith. Obey Him by saying, yes, I am a sinner. I am in need of salvation. I can't get to heaven on my own. And I need to trust Jesus Christ for eternal life. And friend, if you're a Christian this morning, who your spiritual life is against a wall because you're not obeying, today is the time to say, God, I believe you. I believe that what you said is true, and I'm going to obey you, and I'm going to follow you. And if you're a Christian here this morning, as all of us Christians that are here are recognizing in our lives the necessity for a walk of faith, May you leave that door here this morning with a renewed desire and a renewed burden to live a life of faith that says, God, you said, God, you promised, so I will comply. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this life of Abraham. Thank you for this godly man that because God said, he would do. Oh Lord, I pray. I pray for myself as I am the one who needs this message, and for each and every single one of us here, that your Spirit, the candlelight of your Spirit, would search our hearts this morning and show us where we are simply not believing God. We are simply not believing your word. And may you convict us, may you challenge us, and may tonight, this morning, may we be willing to believe and to obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Now, friend, I pause here as we remain with our head bowed. If you have not trusted in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, you have not obeyed God in that first step of the Christian life. You've never repented and believed the gospel. You need to be saved. You need to take that first step of faith. And I plead with you this morning, there may be someone here who's been saying no to God about that matter for a long time. You've been resisting. You've been saying, God, I don't believe you. May today be the morning that you say yes. May today be the day that you believe and that you submit to what God says about how you're saved. We just pause for a moment. If there's anyone who would like to slip out from where they are, come down to these steps and trust in God, trust in Jesus Christ and his salvation that he offers as a free gift. Why don't you do that right now while we pause? Someone will take the Bible and will show you how you can be saved. We'll pause here. If anyone would like to come, you come. And Christian, I ask you, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to yourself right now areas in your life where you are not believing God, where you're not obeying. And not only that, would you ask God to reveal areas in your life where you don't even know necessarily you're not obeying, and ask him for the grace to believe him and obey. Let's just take a moment. Father, may not one person leave this service this morning without taking that next step of obedience on the basis of faith that you would have. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand for the closing grace. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.